Happy Wednesday, everybody. Thanks so much for checking in with us here at the Be Our Guest podcast. We've got your great listener questions straight ahead, including a question from listener Carrie about upgrading to Pop Century over All-Star Sports for $150 for a week later this month. Is it worth it? $150 more for Pop Century over sports? We'll talk about that and much more here in just a second. But first, a word from our sponsors, and that includes our friends over at virtualmickey.com, home of great iPhone apps like Days to Go, WDW. Days to Go lets you count on the days until that next Walt Disney World vacation with style. And right now, I finally pulled the trigger, guys. I am the worst at planning my own Disney vacations. Just today, I booked our stay pre-cruise, and we're staying at Port Orleans French Quarter. Haven't stayed there for a while. Gonna have some beignets, walk over to see Yeehaw Bob. It's the best of both worlds. I can pool hop when I'm at the Port Orleans resorts, and I've set it up. We're checking in late at night, July 3rd, so we're 62 days out until our vacation starts for the podcast cruise extravaganza. I get excited every time I look at my iPhone 7. I see great pictures. I see the countdown of 62 days. I get an audio alert every day at 2:05 p.m. You can do the same. Get excited for your next trip with the great apps over at virtualmickey.com. Download Days to Go today. Again, over at virtualmickey.com.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1166 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and MagicalMouseRadio.com. Happy Wednesday to you. We are here in the lovely month of May. Was it April showers bring May flowers? Well, I can tell you what, in St. Louis, it's going to be a tropical rainforest full of flowers here because we've had the April showers. We're underwater. Let's get rid of the rain. I know Florida needs it. Let's just send it down to the southeast so you guys can, get out of your desert and we can get out of our swamps. Things are just crazy here in May. So hopefully you're having a great week wherever you are in the world. Don't forget, top of the show, we have that great virtual run you can be a part of. If you're sailing with us on the Be Our Guest podcast cruise here in just over 2 months. Man, does it feel good to say that? You can see all the information for your registration right there on our Facebook page. Also, if you want to do the virtual run to support Give Kids the World and get an amazing medal. I mean, it is an awesome medal with Steady Miles and Miley, our little mascots there. And Jen Stead put that together for us. Amazing. So get in on that. Just go by the Facebook group, facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. Let's raise a ton of money for Give Kids the World. Joining me today to talk Disney and answer your listener questions, we have Ricky from a DisneyWorldAfterAll.com. touringplans.com and the Mouse for Less. What's going on, Ricky?
I'm just here. That's about where I am right now.
I guess
I'm just here.
You know, what can you say? After 1,100 episodes, I guess every once in a while you're allowed to just be here. You know, even if you're not,
yes.
You're usually the spunky one. You usually bring the, you're like the Mountain Dew to our cola. You know, you bring the energy.
Yeah. Well, I'll fake it today, so yeah, well. It's fine.
Thing. All right. So yeah. The applications have reopened for Ricky's spot. Just kidding. I got a lot of them. Just kidding. Quit sending them. All right. Also joining us, we have the co-owner of the Magic for Less Travel who will never give up her seat. And she is also the spunky one. We have Pam Forrester. Happy Wednesday, Pam.
Oh, yes. I'm getting a picture of me like holding on to my seat, like being like, no. I'm not giving it up. So anyways, I don't know. It just is an odd picture, actually. Are you trying to get rid of Ricky and I?
I know, like never. Because you guys are the heart and soul of this podcast. I'm just the guy who knows how to edit the shows. I mean, other than that, I'm really useless. I can't even read that well for the questions.
So we could replace you with someone else who could edit.
Oh, sure. Right. I'm sure you could. Matt and Nate are really good at it. Yeah. So I'm just saying.
All right. Well, so if you do try to get rid of us, just know that Ricky and I will be finding someone who can edit.
Yes, exactly.
There you go. It's one of the Rip Rocket Ricky and the editing crew. That's what you guys
I think the three of us work because we work together. I think that we have a very unique combination, I will say.
Right.
Good or bad.
Good or bad.
That is. Yes. I'm not even going to say whether it's good or bad. But real quick.
Yeah, there you go. Smart man.
Let me throw this out there for the folks sailing with us on the Be Our Guest podcast cruise before we get to question number one. Pam, what's the status of fish extender gifts? Are you, be honest, have you like started making physical things? Have you even started to look at Pinterest yet? Where you stand on fish extender gifts?
Well, first of all, I don't like to divulge this kind of information. I like it to seem like I've been working on these fish extender gifts since the last cruise, I'm just going to say. So, so I have an idea of what I would like to do. And now I just have to see if I'm able to get the numbers that I would need to be able to do that. I guess that's what I'll say. So how many days are we out? I'm scared now. Now I'm scared. Now, like, I'm starting to have a panic attack. I feel like I can't breathe.
We're 62 until we arrive on the 3rd of July. We're staying at French Quarter.
And I'm very busy the next 60-some days, so... starting to freak me out a little bit.
Ricky,
but anyways, no.
But you know what? I think we're going to do like paintbrushes to brush the sand off your feet before you go back to the ship. I saw that one time.
You're stealing my idea.
I'm just kidding. Yeah, I know that was yours. Ricky, so are yours done? What's your status? No?
No, not even close. Actually, no, I lied. I have started. Yes.
Okay.
We're good.
Right.
I started.
All right. Okay. Well, let's get to the first question. We tease this in the top of the show here. It's from Carrie. It says, "Hi, Mike and gang. I recently booked a trip to the world and made a spur of the moment decision to extend our Memorial Day getaway to Rhode Island by booking flights out of Providence and heading straight to Disney. In an effort to save money, we booked the All-Star Sports Resort. It was impossible to pass up this deal. However, based on further calculations, I was able to find Pop was only $150 more. I was wondering what your recommendation would be. I've never stated a value before and don't know the benefits of doing one over the other. Do the All-Stars still share buses? Is it even possible to modify the reservation at this point if I've already made final payment? Any insight would be helpful. Oh, we're a party of two and traveling May 29th through June 4th. Not sure if that is helpful info. Thanks for all your help. I look forward to listening every week. Best, Carrie." All right. So, Pam, so a couple of questions here. First of all, never stated a value. So I think that's important to kind of put into this equation because, you know, a lot of us have perspective of I like this value over that value because of this location or this one thing it has or that other thing. It looks like a stay of about 6 nights for $150 more. So you break that down, about $20 extra a night. What would you do in this situation if this was you? So let's just put ourselves in that situation. Pam, would you make the upgrade for $150?
I think I may, and here's why. First of all, when you're looking at all the different value resorts, that they all have the nuts and bolts of them, shall we say, are basically the same, right? The room size is going to be the same. They all have, a themed pool and other pools there in the resort. They all have similar furnishings in the rooms. They're going to have the exact same amenities in terms of other things in the room. They're not going to have a coffee maker, but they will have a small refrigerator, things like that. So, that's one thing you got to look at. But for some reason, many people, including myself, just feel like I have an upgraded experience when I'm at Pop. And I don't know why that is. Maybe it's like just all, I don't know. That's because everyone feels that way. And suddenly I'm like, well, yes, it is. Like it's a self-fulfilling prophecy or what the issue is. But I feel that way too. For me, I feel like Pop is just a little bit nicer. And the other reason I really enjoy being at Pop is I'm within walking distance of Art of Animation. And I feel like Art of Animation has the best food court of any of the food courts in the value resorts. And for me, being close to that is worth a little extra. In theory, you could travel to one of the other resort, food courts, regardless of where you stay. But when you can walk to it, I think you'll actually put that into practice and use that information. So
good answers. I feel exactly the same. I feel like it's an upgrade. Maybe it's because there's one Pop and there's three All-Stars. But the Facebook Live is coming back every person saying, do the upgrade to Pop. Now, of course, this is just based on availability. You can do this after final payment. You just pay the difference. But again, based on availability, because it is later this month now, so it's not very far off. All-Stars do share buses from time to time. Sometimes they don't, depending on the crowd levels. But the bus service at Pop Century is top-notch. I will say that. And like Pam said, you get a great food court at Art of Animation. You get an awesome food court at Pop Century. So you have the two best food courts, better than any of the All-Star Resorts food courts. Not that they're terrible, but they're better at Pop and Art of Animation. And you have access to the top two within walking distance.
Also, they're just larger.
They are.
And able to have more variety, I think.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, because I think, you know, again, it's that evolution of the Disney experience where the All-Stars were the first attempt at a value resort, and they're fine. You know, they're great. But of course, when Disney builds the next one, they learn from crowd patterns. They learn what people want, you know, and what they don't want. So when they built Pop, they made the food court bigger and better. And then when they made Art of Animation, they made it better than Pop. So it's just one of those things that I think that it's the evolution of the building. So Ricky, would you also upgrade, or would you hang on to that 150 and spin it some other way?
Yeah, I would upgrade. I'm a Pop girl too. So, I would rather stay at Pop than the All-Stars too. So I'm in it with you guys. I think that they should upgrade.
All right. So that's for Carrie. Now let me ask you, 'cause this is a personal listener question from Mike Rallman from Florissant, Missouri, because I just booked my room today for pre-cruise. Okay. So we decided I got a killer deal on airfare on July 3rd, the night before the 4th of July. We're going on the last flight of the night, you know, late at night. It was really cheap. I could have flown down on the 4th, like dirt cheap. We'd have been in the air during the fireworks. And I'm like, well, I go down if I'm gonna miss the fireworks, you know, like,
yeah.
I almost did, though. I mean, it was so cheap. It was a flight that landed at like 9 o'clock, but I, you know, it was a couple bucks more to go out the night before. So here was the quandary I was in. So we're staying from the 3rd till the 8th when we go out on the cruise. So what's that? 5 nights, 3, 4, 5, you know, something like that. I can't do math on the air. So about 5 nights. So here's the deal. I booked French Quarter. Now, Riverside's my favorite in the moderate. Well, it's not my favorite. Everywhere in the moderates is my favorite. I love the moderates, but I usually like Riverside the most. Riverside was $200 more for 5 nights. Is Riverside $200 better? And it was a royal room instead of a garden view over at French Quarter. What would you have done, Pam? Is Riverside $200 more for 5 nights than French Quarter? Or would you have gone to French Quarter? I booked French Quarter because I was trying to save a few bucks. You know, we're going on the fantasy. I need to save a couple.
So... Yes, I know. Your fantasy is being on the fantasy.
That's exactly what I'm like.
It's already there.
I'm like, for 7 nights, man, it's as deluxe as it gets. I'm just going to eat like crackers the whole trip. But
crackers. No, I already made dining arrangements. You're included in. No, I'm just kidding. So I did make some, though, because I knew you hadn't.
Yeah, I just booked my hotel today. What are you talking about?
So I don't know that I would. And here's why for that. French Quarter is actually probably one of the most beloved moderate resorts of all time. And the reason why it ranks up so high is because that it's small. It's charming. And it really is charming. It has, you know, no matter where you are, if you're in the building that's furthest from the main building, you're still what, like a 3-minute walk? I mean, it's really not far away. And the good news is that you'll be able to walk over to Riverside and use that pool because they are sister resorts and some of the few sister resorts in which you are able to use the other pool. So that's a big bonus for that too. You also have then the other amenities available at Riverside, and they're actually, you know, very close within walking distance, or you could take the boat, which is another big plus too. So I don't know that I would for that situation. And one of the things that would factor into that decision, at least for me, would be the fact that I've stayed at a royal room like so much in the last couple of years. Every time I stay at Riverside, that seems to be the only type of room that's available because, like you, I make my arrangements so very last minute.
That was it. Yeah.
Which is horrible. But there's something about, not that if you have someone in your family that really likes princesses or likes royalty or whatever, I think the royal room is absolutely the way to go. But I just liked experiencing all the different room types. And I think the fact that you'll be there for that, you know, will be a cool thing too. Have you ever stayed at French Quarter?
Oh, I've stayed there a few times. I haven't been there in probably 2 or 3 years. And I love French Quarter, don't get me wrong. But like Riverside, it's just that that is like my jam. I love Riverside, but it was like one of those things. We're going on the fantasy, you know, like $200. Like, could I save, you know, I'm not going to feel disappointed at French Quarter. I like that resort a lot. That's why I was like, you know what? You know, French Quarter is fine. And to save $200, I feel even better about it. So I'm good.
Yeah. And yeah, I'm the upgrade queen. If I say I wouldn't do it, then you know it's the right choice. I'm just saying.
And Facebook Live's agreeing with me. So I love you guys, man. You're making me feel bad. You could have freaked me out and I'd have been on, you know, changing my resort here in about 15
You're
minutes.
You're like, oh my goodness.
I did the wrong thing. But, you know, you guys know how much I like to get my steps in. So I can step over to see, you know, Yeehaw Bob and to go to that food court over there because I enjoy that. But I mean, beignets. I mean, right there. Boom. Beignets.
Right.
So that's it. All right, so let's see. I didn't get to the next question because I was worried about my own question. I'm so terrible.
Yeah, yeah.
That's how I roll.
Too bad for the rest of you listeners.
That is
right. Exactly. Mike Rallman has questions that are way more apparently important. I, you know,
I'm just so excited.
Sorry, we don't necessarily think they're more important, but he does, and he's got the questions. So
I'm doing. You know what? This is actually the Sasagula trip because I'm staying at French Quarter before the cruise and Oki West after. So.
Oh,
yeah, be on the Sasagula. All right. Hi, Ricky, Pam, and the guy. Just giving some props to the ladies. How about that?
Thank you.
Dave's shouting.
I like that I was first, by the way.
That's it.
That's awesome.
That's it. Yeah. I'm a little dyslexic today. It was actually Pam, but go ahead.
No, just kidding. That's fine.
you're having a bad day. I'm going to put you first.
I'm having a bad day.
Yeah,
it's fine.
Every email, you're going to be first today, Ricky.
Thank you.
Okay.
I need it.
It has been 8 years since my wife and I have been to the world. We're headed down and we'll be there on Saturday after Thanksgiving. This will be my 8-year-old son's first time to Disney. We're thinking of trying to get an ADR at the Crystal Palace before rope drop. I'm thinking his first view of Magic Kingdom would be awesome. What do you think? I would also like to see what you guys think of the Very Merry Christmas Parade. I've been hearing that it has a lot of Frozen in it, and I'm not sure an 8-year-old boy would like it. The last question is that I now have low vision and was wondering what restaurants have better lighting and which don't. Thanks for any information you can give and keep up the great work. And he says, we're doing an awesome job. So Dave, and he doesn't say where he's from. So Dave, thanks for the email. All right. So how do we feel, Ricky? How do we feel about that? You know, first of the morning Crystal Palace ADR, because they've changed the welcome show now. So does that have any impact on the popularity or the quality of getting that ADR at Crystal Palace first thing?
Yeah, I mean, I think it does a little bit. I think that, you know, obviously more people are coming into the Magic Kingdom earlier. So you're not going to be as necessarily alone as you would have been. You know, it's not, you just have to keep in mind, it's still early in the morning, so you're not going to have all the masses with you, you know, at that time. But, you know, if you were really, really super concerned about it, I would make the earliest ADR possible that you could make, rather than, you know, something closer to the 9 o'clock time when the park opens. Yeah, I mean, I think that it is having a small, like a slight impact because, you know, there's obviously more people on Main Street, but it's not going to be like it would be, you know, later in the day.
Totally agree. All right, so let's answer the question about Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party. 8-year-old boy. Now, here's what I say to that. In David says that he's heard that, you know, there's a lot of Frozen. I disagree. I don't think there's a lot of Frozen in the party at all. You know, they're in the parade. They have a float that might be.
I think they have a float.
And maybe, are they in a show?
A float or two.
I don't even think they're in a show during the party that I can remember.
There's the castle lighting.
Oh, yeah. But, I mean, that's every night. So,
right.
Yeah. So that's not, I would say an 8-year-old boy, if he's any kind of interested in Christmas, it's awesome because the party is just cool. The parade in itself is fun. The fireworks are fun. Going around and having the cocoa. And now it's not just cookies. You know, it used to be cookies. This year they had a variety of treats at different stations around the Magic Kingdom. One of them even had snow cones, which I needed hot chocolate. And I went to a snow cone window. I'm like, what are you people doing? Snow cones for Christmas? What are you thinking? Because I was like, you know, it was like 15 minutes till the party was over. And I'm like, I'm getting that last hot chocolate. Get up to the window. Nope. They have all these colored snow cones. I'm like, what do you think this is? July? Come on now. Like that was I didn't like that, but whatever. So Pam, what do you think for an 8-year-old boy, especially first trip to Walt Disney World? I mean, I think the Christmas party is going to be a huge, huge hit.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, I love the Christmas parade. We often talk about the toy soldiers, which I think are very, very impressive you know, when you see them and the reindeer. And I mean, there's just a lot of things. It's not all frozen all the time. It really, really isn't. You know, Anna and Elsa are there. They've come to the party, but they aren't, you know, the main guest. It's right. Christmas is the main guest. Hello. Did you not hear? I mean, there's that awesome theme song, which really only says it's Christmas time. It's Christmas time. It's Christmas. But, what? You know, no, it's still, it's very catchy. That'll be in your head the rest of the week. You're welcome.
Yeah. Once upon a Christmas time at Christmas. Once upon a Christmas time at Christmas. Love that song. Right. No, it's. I think it's a great party for everybody.
And the fireworks. Yeah. And the fireworks. I mean, hello, the fireworks. So, yeah, good, all that. Song. It's all good. So, I love the party. Love being able to see the parade and love all the special things.
100%. 100%. So, last question he has about low vision and trying to be able to see things in restaurants. And when I think of Walt Disney World restaurants, they do tend to be darker, some of them. Places like San Angel Inn, Sci-Fi Dine-In, Tusker House can be dark. I'm trying to think. But, some of the more well-lit restaurants that I can think of would be places like 50s Primetime Cafe at the studios. Crystal Palace is a good example. That's a pretty bright, especially during the day, bright, airy restaurant. So if somebody's, you know, struggling with some low vision, Pam, suggestions for places that might not be too dark and too tough to see things.
Oh, golly. It is really hard. Every now and then I will see Steve with his phone, like, mm-hmm. looking at the menu.
I'm there, man. I am that guy now. Why do they write this stuff so small? Laugh. Exactly. I'm like, it's so dark in here and everybody writes so small nowadays. What's up?
I love, as you two get older, you're going to become the grumpy old men.
So. Absolutely. Yes.
Can you see, Stephen, Mike? Yes. These menus, you can't see them anymore. No,
what are they thinking? So 2-point font. Yes. What are they doing?
So anyways, fun stuff to look forward to, but I think if you can find a location that has an outdoor spot, which is always, you know, we love eating outdoors and we talk about that on the podcast often. There aren't that many places, but like Rose and Crown has a great outdoor eating venue that I think is just, you know, fantastic. And as long as the sun's out, you're going to have a better view there. You know, I think Via Napoli is an especially sunny restaurant, and it also has kind of an area that's sort of outdoors, although it's enclosed with like kind of tents and stuff like that. But it's a nice location too. They're just, there's lots of, if you will stay away from certain restaurants like Le Cellier, which we've talked about, is in a basement. Right. And you know how the lighting in the basement is. It's never quite as good as the lighting that, you know, that's in the rest of your house. So if you can avoid that one, and the one that Mike mentioned, I think that you're going to be okay. Most of the restaurants have decent lighting. And the other thing you can do is do like Steve and Mike do, get your phone out, and it has a little spotlight on it. If you have an iPhone, I'm sure other phones do as well. And it makes everything that much easier.
And make sure you complain, because that's what I'm going to be doing.
Like, what's this stupid
when
menu?
I was younger.
Exactly.
When I went out to eat, they had light so you could see what you were eating.
I know. I'm saying it's a mess, man. I would say Teppanito's got good light, too, because they have the chefs are at your table. And there's, you know, it's a place where you're meant to interact with your table mates. So it's pretty bright, you know, kind of opposite that, though, even though you're sitting communal style, Germany's very dark, you know, and that's another one. So I never thought about it that way, but lots of possibilities there. Ricky, can you think of any other especially, you know, maybe bright restaurants or extremely dark restaurants to avoid?
Did you guys say sci-fi?
Yeah, I said avoid. Yeah, I said avoid that one at all costs.
Good. I wasn't paying attention, obviously. Yeah, definitely avoid that one. I would say I was thinking Olivia's, if you wanted to.
Yeah, that one's,
that's pretty bright on the inside.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was one of the off the beaten path ones that I was thinking of. Let's see here. That was like the first one that popped in my head, so I'm going with Olivia's.
All right, let's get to the next question. It's from Lars. Says, hi, guys. Love the show. I'm returning to the world November 28th. Through December 12th of this year. It'll be my third time visiting, and I'm very excited. My girlfriend turns 25 on the 1st of December, and I would love to plan a surprise for her. Any ideas would be brilliant. Any special places to visit, excursions, dining experiences you would recommend? I do have a limited budget, as we are there for 2 weeks, but would love to hear your input. We are both vegan, so it limits some dining options, but open to any options. We both love animals, but are very active in animal rights and animal welfare. We would love to see some animals up close and personal, but I would be slightly concerned about the emotional impact this may have on me. Any ideas? We're both 24 and would love to hear any suggestions you have for a birthday surprise. Thanks, Laura. All right, so here, you know, and I've said this one before, but I still think, and being there for 2 weeks, score, you're doing it right. I mean, that's, especially that time of year, but it's a great time to be there. Low crowds, great weather, Christmas decorations. But I would say Keys to the Kingdom tour, because if that is, I still think Keys to the Kingdom is one of the best bargains anywhere. It comes in at like under $70 a person. You get lunch, you get an awesome tour for about 4 hours, you get a little surprise at the end. I like that. Now, the question, though, that I have, she's worried about the impact on, they're very much animal rights people. And Ricky, I know that you're very into animals as well. Do you think any of those, animal kingdom type tours, because they're very neat, but would that, if you're really somebody who's into animal welfare, do you think that would bother you? Or do you think you might come out of that saying, you know, hey, this is a good thing? I don't know. I'm not sure.
I think that, you know, Disney does a really great job at trying, you know, to take care of the animals in the best way they possibly can. You know, the animals, it's not like your traditional zoo. I mean, yes, they are, you know, they do have enclosures, but they aren't like, you know, terribly restrictive. It's just to make sure that the lions aren't going to eat, you know, the deer or, you know, whatever's out on the, like, it's just to make sure the lions aren't going to eat something.
Exactly.
So, you know, you just got to kind of that, like, so it's all, I think it's all done very, very well. You know, if you go in some of the tours, you know, I've heard, I haven't done any of the tours at Animal Kingdom, but you know, they serve the animals food that like rivals, you know, salads that we would eat, you know? So like, I think that, they do a great job. And actually I was thinking of an Animal Kingdom tour. This was the first thing that popped in my head. And the great thing about it is that this tour does not cost a lot of money. It's actually only $30 a person. And it's brand new. It's an hour long and it's the Caring for Giants, tour. And it's basically a tour where you get to see the elephants, kind of up close and personal, you know, relatively speaking, and you get to learn facts about elephants. And there's a African cultural representatives that are on hand to share the stories of Disney conservation efforts. You know, I saw that, actually I saw that Deb Wills actually just did this tour and she like raved about it. So that's, I really like, this is one of the tours that I really kind of want to do. I was wanting to do it before I heard the rave reviews about it. And then now that I've heard that it's really good, I even more so want to do this tour. So, I think that this would be a great tour. It's offered daily and, groups depart throughout the day between 10 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. And like I said, it lasts about an hour. So I think that this would be a great tour for them to do.
And I think something like that's a great way to get your feet wet with the tours, you know, because you don't want to jump in like as neat as that, like Africa safari trek one where you, you know, hang over the alligators and, you know, you have on the vest and the repelling, you know, you're not repelling,
right,
but you're on the safety harnesses,
right,
and stuff.
Right.
You know, that might not be, you know, if you have concerns like this, you want to take baby steps into it. Like you said, do the elephant one. See how you like it, you know, see if it's, because you could back out of that one and say, you know, this isn't for me, and you're not out a ton of money, where, you know, you could spend a lot of money on a tour and be uncomfortable, and then it's a, you know, it's a bad experience all around.
Right, exactly. So I think this is a good like toe in the water tour with the animals.
Good call. All right, Pam, any suggestions before we move on to the next question?
So there's another, Starlight Safari at Disney's Animal Kingdom Lodge that I think might be something that is, you know, would interest them. You get to use, you know, like the night vision goggles, and I believe you go out actually on the vehicles, but you'll be able to see the different animals that live there at the lodge. And I can tell you that these animals are taken care of very, very well. It just, they're really, Disney is very passionate about this. They have a special team there at the Animal Kingdom Lodge that does take care of the animals, but this is a tour that actually begins at 10 p.m. and it takes about an hour. But it's just, I think, I haven't had an opportunity to do it yet, but I think it would be such a cool thing to be able to do, because to be out there and be able to see those animals at night using the night vision goggles is really a very unique opportunity. There's such a wide variety of animals that stay in the savannah at night at the Animal Kingdom Lodge. You'll be able to see zebras and giraffe and gazelle and wildebeest and antelope. I mean, there's just a lot of different species out there. And I think that this may be something that they want to try too. It is only for an hour. I think you get a little, we'll put them at ease to see how well these animals are taken care of and everything that the animal keepers know about them. So
that's good. Good idea. And Rachel in the Facebook live chat offers up behind the scenes over at Epcot, because again, that's a tour, you know, and it's an experience, and it's definitely kind of away from the animals. You wouldn't have to sweat that. And she said maybe because they're vegan, it would be more interesting. I don't know.
That's true, because you do get to, you get to eat, you know, some of the vegetables that they have in the land. Mm-hmm. Usually it's a cucumber. I think that would be that's a great option too.
All right. And Jennifer also says she was just at Animal Kingdom Lodge, saw that tour going out. It looked very cool. I just thought of this. Do you think people actually, and I'm not kidding here, I don't know how many people have them, but maybe sportsmen do. Do you think guests ever bring night vision goggles when they have a savanna view at Animal Kingdom Lodge? Bring their own? I don't know if you'd have
them. I carry them all the time.
I'm serious though. maybe if you're a hunter or something. I mean, that, just think about it. Like if you had your own set, that'd be really cool to kind of sit on your balcony and, you know, have those just at your disposal.
If I had them, I guess I would bring them. Yeah. I don't have them.
Yeah. I guess not many people have them. That's kind of a dumb question. All right.
it added some interest.
Yeah,
well, it did.
If somebody has them, let us know on Twitter or Facebook. We got to know. Back me up. Somebody has to have them. I guarantee you somebody does. We have people listening all over the world. Somebody does.
I'm just saying I don't have them.
And if you don't have them, when you buy them on Amazon, brguestpodcast.com/Amazon.
Nice. Wow.
I'm just saying.
I'm going to be looking that up to see what night vision goggles go for on
they
Amazon.
Can't be cheap.
Just going to say.
Exactly. All right. Kimberly's got the next question. Hi, Mike, Ricky, and Pam. You guys are the best. Thanks for all you do. And actually, that was hi, Ricky, Mike, and Pam. Ricky,
yeah,
you were first.
Thank you.
I said it
thank
wrong.
Thank you.
My husband and I are going to Walt Disney World this coming September with the free dining plan. We have never used the dining plan before. My question for you is this. If we, as a couple, share a plate at a one-credit table service restaurant using the dining plan, will they only charge it as if one table service credit was used, or will the restaurant count us as two since there are two of us? My thinking is the portions are quite large at Disney, and if we could share, then we could have more opportunities to try more amazing Disney restaurants. Thanks again for being such a knowledgeable source. I love your podcasts. Kimberly's up in Prairie City, Iowa. All right. What's up with that, Pam? I don't even know. I haven't used the dining plan in a couple of years. So if you share a plate, would they still take, do they count heads or do they count plates? Basically, I guess is what the question is.
So as long as you're not eating at a buffet or one of the all-you-can-eat restaurants, you could go ahead and share. So let's say you're eating in a typical table service restaurant like Kona, and you decided just to go ahead and get the entree and the, you know, dessert and drink. You'd have to, of course, pay for the extra drink and anything else that you ordered. But yeah, if you're just using one table service credit worth of food, then they would just take that. But if you were eating, let's say, at Liberty Tree or at Ohana or Crystal Palace or one of the many character meals, then you would be charged a credit per person. So yeah, just things to keep in mind.
And that kills us. Like when we were on the dining plan with Paige, because we'd go places like that and she'd want to go in with us, but she wouldn't eat, you know, and it's like, oh, you're killing us. You know, it's like one of those things. Sometimes if you said they weren't eating, the server would be cool with it, you know, but you know, it's one of those things. Anyway, shout out to Adam in the Facebook Live, too. He did a great job down in the Nashville Rock and Roll this past weekend. Really proud of my buddy down there.
Oh, wow.
Awesome. He made it. Man, it was hot down there. I don't think I could have made it. All right, Carolyn's got the next question. Hi, Ricky, Mike, and crew. It's funny how everybody's saying your name, Ricky.
Yeah, it is funny.
Whatever it takes, try and make you smile. I love the show and listen regularly. We are annual pass holders and big off-season visitors. Nothing better than small crowds. My family is planning our first Halloween trip to Walt Disney World October 30th through November 4th. We're celebrating my husband's birthday, my daughter's second birthday, and of course, Halloween. We will be attending Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party for the first time, and we're thinking of going either October 31st or November 1st. We plan on only doing breakfast at 1900 Park Fair that morning. We'll be attending or before the party. What I want to know is, do you suspect both of these to be pass holder blackout discount days? And am I in for large crowds compared to my usual off-season travel on both of these days, or do you think one will be better than the other? We're planning on doing only characters, trick-or-treating, fireworks, and the parade. No rides. Here's another twist. We're traveling with my disabled father who uses a DAS card. Will he be able to use this during the party? So here we go. And that is from Caroline. So it sounds like, you know, they're going to have a great trip. They're off-season visitors, but they are going during a busy time because it is over Halloween. Ricky, what say you? So let's decide for them. Obviously the crowds are lower on November 1st. We had this kind of question earlier a few weeks back. Is it going to be significant between Halloween night and November 1st, the next night?
I would think it would be. The reason is because more people would want to go on Halloween proper than would want to go the day after Halloween. So I would think that that more people would visit on that date. And the first is a Wednesday. So, yeah. I really think you're better off to go on the first. If you don't care that you're not there on Halloween proper, I would go on the first.
I'm surprised they're having a party on the first with it being a Wednesday. Like, I could see if it was like a Saturday, Sunday, like 31st, first kind of thing where you're finishing out the weekend. But I mean, if it's a Wednesday, that's weird.
Yeah, that is weird. I didn't realize that until I just looked at the calendar too. But I guess it's called money. So
yes,
they'd be leaving it on the table, I guess, if they didn't, because then they could do a quick. Then that gives them a little over a week to get it ready, or about a week to get it ready for probably the first Christmas party. So yeah.
All right. What I would say though, because if they go the first, and the only things they're doing, again, she says they're doing character meets, trick-or-treating, fireworks, and the parade. Well, first of all, fireworks and the parade, you're not going to wait in line. Now, you might want to get a really good spot because you want to for those two things because they're amazing. The parade and the fireworks are great. The trick-or-treating, though, I think on the first, you aren't going to have a lot of trouble, I wouldn't think, because really, even on the busier parties, it tends to go pretty quickly. There may be a line, but they just, shovel the candy in and you move to the next station.
I bet they would load you up with candy on the last night. Yeah. Would need buckets to come home with. Yeah. Like, just bring a whole suitcase.
Exactly.
Bring a whole suitcase just for candy. And I guarantee you it will be full.
Yeah. We're not taking this home. You're taking it with you. Like, okay. All right. Give me the Reese's. All right. So one last question, though, she has. Do you think those are going to both be AP blackouts for the discounts? Maybe not on the first. Maybe not.
I would assume probably not on the first. The 31st, yes.
Oh,
but
yeah, for sure.
Maybe not on the first.
And if they do decide to go on the first, they need to book that right away because that's going to be the first one to sell out. All right. Here's the last question of the day. Actually, it's a comment, little story. I got this one earlier in the week, and I wanted to share this one. It's from Jennifer. She's in Waterloo, Ontario, Canada. She says, "Hi there. I'm writing to tell you about an interesting experience I had with Memory Maker on my most recent Disney World trip. I was there over spring break with my husband and two teenagers, one son, one daughter, for our fifth family vacation to the world. My son has only 1 year of high school before he heads to college, so not knowing how many more Disney trips we have as a family of four, I purchased Memory Maker for our trip without hesitation. One of our favorite things about Memory Maker is having the on-ride photos downloaded directly to our My Disney Experience account. My kids, no matter how old they get, always love to exit these rides and head straight to the board where they can get a preview of their picture. On this most recent trip, after riding Expedition Everest, we found our picture on the screens at the ride exit and were disappointed to see that the middle school-aged boy who had been riding behind me and my husband, you can see where this is going, maybe it's just because I teach middle school age kids, had made an obscene hand gesture just as the ride picture was taken."
Oh,
that's what I'm saying. I'm around middle school age kids too much. I knew that was coming. "My husband is a middle school vice principal, so we certainly weren't horrified or upset about this, just a little annoyed that our picture wouldn't really be usable in any future family scrapbooks. When this picture was uploaded to My Disney Experience, however, a black circle had been added to our ride photo, completely covering the boy's hand gesture. We were so impressed that Disney has a system in place to deal with that kind of situation. Do you know if it's actually somebody's job to examine each and every ride photo to find and cover up any inappropriate content, or is it somehow automated? Thanks for all you do to produce the podcast. I've listened for many years and have often been directed towards experiences, restaurants, and resort hotels that I might never have tried if it had not been for you, Pam and Ricky. Jen up in Canada. So that's really, really interesting, because I thought it was going, you know, a horrible way, that they lost this memory of a lifetime. I mean, that, you know what? I'd probably print that one out and hang it on the wall just because it's got the circle around it. Like, we got you, kid. You're not going to ruin our picture. That's just my kind of personality. But I'd have that sucker hanging here in the studio. So, Pam, do you think that's automated? I mean, here's the thing, though. We know Kim. Yes. You know, Kim Taylor is one of the great PhotoPass photographers. Actually, she's a trainer now, but she's done this for years. And one of the things that she actually does as a job when they have the Run Disney events is that they physically have cast members go in and like get bib numbers and kind of sort them and tag them so that everybody gets their pictures. They have to physically go in like for a bunch of the pictures and like tag them so you can find your photos associated with your bib number. So that's manual labor. Pam, do you think somebody does sit there and check for middle fingers? I don't know. I mean, what's going on? I doubt it's automated. How could it couldn't be automated? There's no way. I don't think.
I mean, well, think about the way your iPhone like groups your photos together now. I mean, you would. It seems like there would be a way that they could do at least some of it automated, or maybe it would like flag certain photos that then someone would have to take a look at, you know, to see if there's, you know, if there's something there that needs to be taken out. I don't know. You know, that's interesting. I would love to know the answer to this question. So if anyone, Kim, knows, exactly. Then we would love to know this. So
there was something there that wasn't there before is what happened.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yes. Ricky, exactly. What do you think? I mean, is there somebody? I mean, you're right. I mean, I'd love to know from somebody that really knows. But what are your thoughts on this? I mean, it is an interesting. I'm glad that it turned out the way it did, because, I mean, Disney's a family destination. And thank goodness that you're not getting pictures on your memory maker with a high, you know, middle school kid behind you telling you that you're number one. You don't want that, you know?
I bet you that they do have someone whose job it is to make sure that everything is kosher with, you know, ride photos and stuff like that. I bet you they do. Because, I mean, they might not. They might have an automated system, but I would bet that there's probably somebody who's watching that to make sure everything's good.
Yeah, I think
because so, obviously they have to watch. Obviously, they have to watch the photos that come across for, like, you know, when they show them up on the screen to know that, you know, hey, your photo's been washed away or whatever.
Oh yeah.
So yeah. You know, I would bet that, you know, whoever's watching that maybe doing the editing for you know, Memory Maker. I mean, it's just a guess. I really don't know, but I would assume that, you know, it would be super easy to just have them flag that picture. At the very least, I'm sure they flag it, and then somebody, you know, takes care of it.
Yeah, that's probably it. Facebook Live, our folks in there are saying, you know, they do that sometimes with celebrities so you don't get their pictures. I didn't know that either. You know, maybe because I guess you could, like, take a picture of, I don't know, The Rock riding the Jungle Cruise or something before he destroys it or something. I don't know. There's no ride photo for that.
Well, I've never heard of that. That they just, like, if a celebrity rides with you, they'll, like, blur out the celebrity?
Well, Dad, don't you notice every time we ride a ride together, like, the picture always gets taken down? Like, I'm never in the picture. It's weird. It's so crazy.
Yeah, that's weird.
Just kidding. All right, well, that's going to do it for today's questions. Sorry, Ricky. We tried to get her happy. Sorry. It didn't work, but we do the best we can here. Send your questions in to mike@beourguestpodcast.com. We'll answer those right away. Thanks to everybody who did that today. Today's show, of course, it's a Wednesday, brought to you by virtualmickey.com, home of great iPhone apps like Theme Park News Disney Edition. It's a free iOS app to turn your Apple device into a Disney device. And Ricky, one of the stories that I am pumped about, and I know you can read it in Theme Park News Disney Edition. I might be throwing you a curveball here. It's the driverless cars.
How did I know that's where you were going?
Not cars, but trams. They're basically going to be trams. You know, the self-driving trams that may be coming to Walt Disney World. How awesome is that? I'm all in. Put me in.
You know where this technology is originating, right? We've been testing it here in Pittsburgh, Carnegie Mellon, with the driverless Uber drivers for quite a while now. So we are at the forefront of this, just to mesh these little my worlds together here. So
interesting.
I don't know. What do you think, Vicky? What are you hearing?
I think it's pretty. I think it's pretty awesome. I mean, let's put it this way. I think that. So I think that at D23, we will probably hear more about, you know, what type of things they're doing with transportation. You know, it's just interesting because, you know, all the rumors are being floated right now. Like, you're hearing a ton. It always happens right before D23. Every rumor possible just starts getting thrown out everywhere, and you start seeing it on all the news sites and stuff like that. And that's because we don't know what rumors are going to stick and what rumors are actually going to be announced for D23 and what rumors are going to be, you know, going by the wayside. So it's the time of year where everything's getting released and floated. And so I guess we'll see what really happens when D23 comes about, because I'm sure we're going to get a lot of news this year.
That's it. You know what? And George in Hawaii says he needs a self-driving gondola. That's right.
Yes. I'm sure the gondolas will be self-driving in a way.
I think they'll be there. Yes. Yeah.
Pretty sure. All right. Don't forget to pick up Theme Park News Disney Edition. You can also grab Days to Go WDW today over at virtualmickey.com. Give us a follow on the social media. We're on Instagram and Twitter at BRGuestMike. Drop by the Facebook group. Lots of great Disney fans there all day, every day. We're talking Disney. We're having a good time. Facebook.com/BRGuestPodcast. When you do that shopping, please use our link. We appreciate it so much. BRGuestPodcast.com/Amazon. All right. Time to get out of here until we get back together on Friday. And on Friday, we didn't warn you last week. Yeah, I think we did, actually. But come to the show, have a snack, because we're talking the best quick service restaurants, counter service restaurants at Walt Disney World, so that you can maximize the Disney dining plan the next time you are on your Disney vacation. So for Ricky, she's first, and Pam, I'm Mike, wishing you a great Wednesday. Time to get back to work, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at BRGuestPodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.